A very blessed Christmas to each and every one of you. It's so good to see you and our special guest tonight. Great to have you here. And I pray that you're going to be blessed beyond blessing because you came tonight, and that everything that you do from tonight through the rest of the evening and tomorrow will bring you closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you had been a Jew in ancient Egypt or in ancient Israel, you would have been expecting a Messiah to come. And you would have had a picture in your mind of what he would be like. Mashiach ben David. Messiah, son of David. He would be a descendant of the line of David, and therefore he would be a great military commander. He would be arriving on horseback, and he would be shouting vengeance for his people, and he would be taking charge with that sword high above his head. And he would cry out for redemption for all of the people. He would have the godliness of Moses and the charisma of David. He would have the wisdom of Solomon. He would have the military genius of Joshua. He would have the strength of Samson and far more. But we know that it did not happen that way, did it? He came as a baby. A baby. Just a baby. Why a baby? Someone asks some children that question. Why did Jesus come as a baby? And they gave very insightful answers. This is Casey. Casey was just 9 years old. God sent Jesus as a baby because when babies are born, everybody thinks that they are special. Guys, have you ever noticed how excited women get around babies? Just the sight of a baby, or a photograph of a baby, and a room full of energy by women becomes enough to light a city. Well, there's a reason for that. Women have a hormone called oxytocin. Doctors literally call this hormone the cuddle chemical, or the hug hormone. I'm not making this up. We guys have it too. We have the same hormone, but we just don't have it in the abundance that women have it. Bring a baby into the room and they light up. They just can't help it. Right, women? Is that why God came as a baby? No, of course not. But it does explain, I think, some of the warm fuzzies that we feel with some of the Christmas carols that we love to sing. Now, some of the other answers that the children gave to the question of why did Jesus come as a baby were also insightful answers. For instance, little Richard said, because if Jesus had come as a grown man, war would have broken out everywhere. And you know what? He was probably right. Stuart said, it was because God wanted everyone to know that he does things differently. Insightful. And Beth Ann said, Jesus could have descended to earth, flanked by thousands of angels, but he wanted to share in our humanity and demonstrate his humility. That is very insightful. Let's explore some of those insights. Jesus embraced our humanity, and in doing so, he also embraced humility that is beyond comprehension for us. It was at an astounding level. There's probably nothing in the revelation of Jesus Christ, not even his horrible death on the cross, that reveals his humility more than his humanity. Philippians 2, verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, Jesus was like no other. He was fully human and he was fully divine. In order for that to happen, he had to be born of a human mother. Nothing in his humility distracted from his godliness, and nothing in his godliness distracted from his humanity. He was of both worlds, God and man. He was the bridge. He is the bridge between you and God the Father. He is the means of our reaching into heaven. He begged for food. He crawled. He had to learn to walk. Humility. And that not only humbled him, brothers and sisters, that humbles us as well. It enabled Jesus Christ to empathize with us even more, because it enables us to empathize with him even more. I'm reading from John 1:14. We heard it earlier. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Us. That's what the word incarnation actually means, by the way. It is Latin, and it means literally in the flesh. That is what God did. Could he have manifested himself in the flesh without being born in Mary's womb and being a baby? Yes, he could have done that if he had wanted to. But his coming as a baby caused something important to happen to Mary and Joseph. They evolved from a couple into a family when Jesus was born. God underscored through the birth of that baby that he had already told us and continues to tell us that the family is the epitome of the church. The family is the model of the church. All you family people who are there tonight, you are the church. You are a mirror of the church. Now, let's admit this. For many people, the word family does not invoke positive feelings. And I certainly hope that that's not true of anyone here. It happens for a variety of reasons. For others, however, the thought of family is very positive. It's very fulfilling. And you are blessed if that is so. Thank God if your thoughts of family are positive. I hope that is all of you, but I suspect it's not. But I hope it is all of you. Let's also admit this. The Christmas story intensifies the feelings in many people that they do not belong to a family. But that is not true. The word family takes many forms. You do not have to be married. You do not have to have children to be part of a family. In fact, you are part of a family right here in Covenant Fellowship. Why do you think we call each other brother and sister? We're part of a family. We're adopted into the family of God. Say amen, somebody. You still with me? Amen. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Christmas should say to you, I'm not alone. I am not alone. You are part of a family of God. Hallelujah. Now, you may have heard this story before. I can't remember if I've shared it with you or not. A team of missionaries went to Russia to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they happened to be there at Christmas time. And on Christmas Eve, they visited an orphanage. And they were teaching the story of the birth of Jesus Christ that we know so well, but none of those children had ever heard that story before. After they shared the story, they gave the children paper and pens and crayons, and they said, "Draw a picture of the Nativity." After that happened, this is what one of those missionaries wrote. "As I looked at Misha's drawing, I was startled to see that not one, but two babies were in the manger. I called for a translator to ask Misha why, and he did. Looking at his completed manger scene, Misha began to repeat the story accurately until he came to the part where Mary put the baby Jesus in the manger. Then Misha started to ad-lib his own ending to the story. He said, 'And when Mary laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him, I have no mama, I have no papa, so I don't have any place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me and he told me I could stay with him forever. And then, putting his hand over his face, Misha dropped his head down to the table and his shoulders began to shake as he sobbed and sobbed. He had finally found someone who would never abandon him, who would never abuse him, someone who would stay with him forever. You are Misha. You have been adopted into God's family. You are a child of God. That's the message of Christmas. That's why we're here. But there's one more thing. One more reason why God came into this earth as an infant. He wanted to say to us, even from the manger, that you must be born again. That's not a command of God. That's a fact of God. You must be born again. In just about every Bible translation, the word again appears. You must be born again. The Greek word there is anothin. It is another word, one of those Greek words for which we really don't have a good English translation. No one English word can capture it. In part, it means completely or radically. You must be born completely or radically. In part, it means a second time or anew. You must be born a second time or anew. And in part, it also means from above. All three of those are wrapped up in that beautiful term, born again. When you are born again, you undergo such a radical change in your life that it's like having a new birth. Something happens that you cannot do on your own, no matter what you try to do. It must come from above, from the grace and the power of Almighty God. That is what this night means, brothers and sisters. Because of the birth of Jesus Christ, you can be born again, born into the family of God. There was a woman who was very, very busy in her church. Have you ever known a woman who was very, very busy in her church. Every church I've been in has been blessed to have women who were very, very busy in their church. Every church I've been in has been hungry for men to be very, very busy in their church. Oh, there's another sermon. But in every church, I have seen women who give lavishly of their time to make things happen. The evangelist Dwight L. Moody was attending her church and was preaching a revival one night, and he was preaching on "You Must Be Born Again." And afterwards, that woman approached Dr. Moody, and you could tell that she was very agitated and she was very angry, and she almost barked at him. She said, "Mr. Moody, do you mean to tell me that I, an educated woman, taught from childhood in good ways, and all my life interested in doing good in the church, must enter heaven the same way as the worst criminals of our day?" Moody looked at her and he said, "No, ma'am, I don't tell you that at all. God does. God said, everyone who would enter the kingdom of heaven, no matter how good they think they are, or how well educated, or zealous in good works, must be born again." Many hundred years ago, they venerated to remark that Noah had some carpenters to help him build the ark. But sad to say, on that last day, when Noah entered in, those carpenters were left outside and perished in their sin. How sad to think that they may have helped to build the ark so great, yet still they heeded not God's word, and awful was their fate. Today, the same sad state exists among the sons of men. They help to build the so-called church who are not born again. They stay behind for sacrament. They work. They sing. They pray, yet never have accepted Christ, the life, the truth, the way. Another judgment day will come as sure as came the flood, and only those will be secure who shelter neath Christ's blood. You must be born again. My friend, it was a miracle that Jesus Christ embraced our humanity, that he subjected himself to unbelievable, astounding humility, and invited us into the family of God. But an even greater miracle is that through his birth, you can be born again. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. We have already now prayed the prayer, cast out our sin and enter in and be born again in us today. And Lord, may we make you the focus of everything that we call Christmas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.